Just got to find out what theater rap battles is taking place in.
In your bum.
Ugh. Yeah, that is kind of ugh.
Are you thinking crap battles?
Hi, everyone.
Dave, shut up for a second.
Oh, sorry.
No, I'm just kidding. Go ahead.
You
no, please.
Bastard.
No,
you've thrown
ahead.
Me off.
I know.
You've thrown me right off the game.
No, go ahead. Go,
I won't be able to do the show
no,
at all
just
now.
Just do it, okay. I'm tense. I'm tense, Dave. Just go ahead.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to Dreaky Snag, and my name is David Dedrick.
And I am Ian Boothby. Hi, everybody. Sorry for that weak start. Dave and I are both very nervous. We both found out that tomorrow is the most terrifying of all days.
And terrible.
Oh, it's the worst day.
It is.
You're thinking, is it tax day? No.
Nope.
That's not. Is it?
I've been told I will die. Nope.
No, that old gypsy woman did tell you that.
Yeah, she did tell me.
I'm really surprised that you tipped her so much after she said that.
Well, I always tip 20%.
for bad news.
Well, this
25% for good news or higher.
That's right. Yeah.
But tomorrow is the day that husbands dread.
Husbands dread.
And
yes.
It is Valentine's Day.
I think boyfriends dread it as well.
You know what? Yeah, a little bit. Mm. But here's the problem.
Okay.
Is as far as now, I've known some. I have not had other husbands, but I have known people who are husbands.
Okay.
And when it comes,
let's make that clear.
Now, when it comes to husbands, Dave and I we're not each other's husband. Let me clarify that. We're from Canada, but we're not. We're both married
once again,
to ladies.
Let's make that clear.
Okay. We're pretty good when it comes to the husbanding. We're all right. You know, both
with each other?
Let's make this clear.
Oh, sorry.
We clean, we cook, we're very kind, I think, generally. Not only when people do this
Wait,
kind of stuff.
Is this with each other still?
No, we're with the wives.
Oh, okay.
And so
I'm just not clear on it.
And so once a year, like if you're a real jerk, then Valentine's Day is easy for you because you just have to be nice one day a year, kick it up a notch,
yeah.
Basically to the level we keep it at all year long,
yeah.
Like make a meal and do a thing and da-da-da. Mm-hmm. And it's like, boom, look who's king of the fair.
Yeah.
You know. But for us, we either got to take it up a super notch or, you know, it's just, it's the damn worst. Like, I just don't like any holiday that forces people to feel a certain way. And if you don't, then, you know, ugh. That's why I like Halloween the best, I think, of the holidays, because no one ever goes, you ruined Halloween for the whole family. No one does that. You know, no, you didn't ruin it. You can't have emotional scars from Halloween. Well, maybe you can. But, you know.
Well, that's because, unlike me, you didn't grow up in a family of ghouls. I always ruined Halloween.
Right.
Dave, every year.
Dave used to be part, if you don't remember, Dave in the 70s was part of the Groovy Ghoulies.
That's true.
He was the wolf man.
I was the not ghoul. That was the problem.
Oh, you were the too cool for ghoul.
I was too cool for ghoul. That's right. Yeah. Yeah.
Like in the Munsters where they have the one who everyone goes, she's so ugly, but she's actually the beauty.
Mm.
Ironical.
Yeah.
You know?
That's me for sure.
Though, here's even in the say you're a Munster, Dave.
I'm a Munster.
Okay.
You mean from the city, the German city?
No, I mean from the TV show.
Oh, I'm sorry.
So say you're a Munster. Now, you've got, I believe her name was Marilyn. Was
ich
the cousin.
Bin ein Munsterin.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. So you got the cousin, and she's the beautiful one. But you're always telling her she's ugly. Like, in Munster logic, you're still a jerk. Like, if you have the one ugly relative, you don't keep going, homely city over here. Like, that'd be a weird thing to do, wouldn't it? It's terrible. So the Munsters are just generally, they're emotional monsters. They seem kind, but deep down, they really, like, passive-aggressive it out.
I've only seen a couple of episodes of the Munsters, to be honest with you.
Okay, well, Grandpa...
Because I watched The Addams Family, which seems to me like light years better than the Munsters.
Yeah, it's a very different situation.
And so why watch the Munsters?
Yeah. You know what I'm going to do before I get into Munster talk is I'm going to do our plugs.
Oh.
Okay. Dave and I will now be getting our hair plugs.
Mm-hmm.
Those of you who listen to the show quite often know that Dave and I are both going bald. And we've made a pact. This is for Valentine's Day for our wives.
Yeah.
They said we don't want bald men.
Yeah.
So we're going to get our hair plugs. But while I'm doing that, I'm also going to plug some shows and stuff that we're doing.
The other day, I just want to tell
please.
You. The other day, I made tea for my wife. And I brought it in just as she said, oh, would you make some tea? And I put it right in front of her. I spilled it in her lap. That's totally different. Totally different. This guy stumbled over our dog.
Yeah, but that's still impressive.
It was nice.
Excellent. Now, you know how to make tea?
I know how to make tea, yes.
All right, you didn't put like a T-bone steak or something into like a glass of hot water.
I put a Gulf tea in it.
Oh, very good.
Yeah.
All good responses. All right, so here's the plugs, everybody. As always, we have our shirts for sale. Designed by Dave Dedrick. They're on our webpage, sneakydragon.com. You know what? Everyone's got t-shirts. You know how that all works. That's mm-hmm. just standard information.
Standard information.
Now, Dave and I just found out that we're going to be having a table at Vancouver Fan Expo. When yes. is that, you say? We don't know.
We don't know.
But, you know, well, we're going to be there.
It's approaching.
It's
when it gets closer, we will tell you more about it.
And Dave and I are both going to be sharing a 3-foot table.
Yes.
So we're going to be really cramped. And if we have a guest over, we're really going to be cramped.
Yeah.
It's going to be like a clown car. Anyway, we're going to be
sneaking. I'm bringing the ladder.
I'll be there signing comic book stuff, and we'll be doing some Sneaky Dragon stuff there while we're there as well. But in the near future, I'm doing a bunch of stuff, so I'm going to go through this really fast. Wednesday, February 19th at Café du Soleil, I'm doing a thing called Nerd Night. Oh. And it's a thing they're just starting off where they're having kind of nerdy discussions of various things, mm-hmm. sort of like TED Talks, but nerd-based.
Yeah.
And I'll be doing a discussion called Can Comics Save Your Life? Answer, I believe they can. And I'll be explaining that then.
If you had a big enough pile and you need to get out of a deep hole... Mm-hmm. You could climb up them and get out of the hole.
Unless you dropped a match, in which case you'd burn to death.
Well, that's the other answer to the question, can comics be dangerous for your life?
That's right. Well, that's yes, the one you're going to be doing the next that's the next right. one.
I will be doing the counter argument.
Yeah, everything will be a rebuttal. Yeah. Oh, speaking yeah. of rebutting,
yeah.
I'm going to be doing a show called Rap Battles as oh, well.
Okay.
And that's going to be at the Little Mountain Theater on Saturday, February 22nd. Now, I'm going to
Is that with goats?
Why would it be with goats?
Because you said something about butting.
Rebutting.
Oh,
that's right. And I'm going to be going up against Dave Shumka.
Oh.
Now, you might know him from Stop Podcasting Yourself, might know him from CBC, you might know him from radio, you might know him from being an amazing stand-up comedian.
Might know him from walking down the street.
Yeah, he does walk down the street with yep. an adorable dog. Mm-hmm. So you might know him from any of those things. We're going to be going up as characters. I'll be J. Jonah Jameson, and he's going to be a beatnik spider called A Spider-Man. So we're going to be doing that. And I have not rapped in public, let's say, ever. So yeah. Nervous, but mm-hmm. That's going to be happening.
Unlike me, who I have rapped in this show many times.
Right. Did you want a fat beat?
Oh, no, it's okay.
Okay, fine, good. And then on Tuesday, February 25th, I'm going to be doing a show called Minus World at Café du Soleil. That's an improv show with video games
okay.
combination.
Is that a video game called? Is there a video game called Minus World?
You know what? I'm going to tell you. I don't quite get the reference.
Oh, okay.
They usually have like an image of a Mario, Super Mario mm-hmm. World. So mm-hmm. maybe that's the thing, but
okay.
I don't know. I've just sure. said yes to it. I don't know.
Whatever you say, old man.
Yeah. Well, actually, no. I think like an old... They're younger than me. Mm-hmm. That's true.
That's right.
But the games I'm they're referencing are older than them.
Oh,
so
course.
That doesn't quite make sense,
yeah.
what you're saying.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. It's like I'm making a Werner von Braun joke and you're going, yeah, old man.
If
it's
you
like,
subtract
yeah, they,
the age yeah. of the them from the age of the games they're playing, it ends up with a minus.
Oh, I see. That's a math joke. That's good stuff. now, I always tell you about the Critical Hit Show, which we do the last Friday of the month. That'll be February 26th this month. Now, that's very special this month because it's our second anniversary.
Oh.
So wow. 2 years of doing this D&D yep. Comedy thing.
We might figure it out.
And Dave is usually around there if you want to like give him some notes on the show. so there's that.
I'll pass it on to Ian.
And I'm just going to throw one more thing at you, which is March 1st, I'm going to be in Victoria at a thing called Gotacon. We're taking the Critical Hit Show there, and that's like a gaming convention. And so we're going to be performing there. So if you're like, I'm not in Vancouver, but I'm in Victoria, well, you can come see us in Victoria. That's March 1st. That is all the damn plugs that I will ever do on this show. That's, sorry, it was very plug heavy.
That was a lot. Holy cow.
Have you got anything going on, Dave?
Well, you know, since we're mentioning Fan Expo, we should also mention that we'll be at VanCaf as well.
Oh, that's right. But yeah. that's even farther in the
that's
future.
That's even farther in the future.
Way
Please,
in the future.
But mark it on your calendar, because that will be on the 11th of November.
And we'll also be hovering around Emerald City. Comic Con in Seattle.
You'll be hovering over it?
Yeah, I've just got a pass to Emerald City.
Oh,
so
you got a pass?
I got a pass.
Okay.
So I'm going to be there.
Okay.
And Dave and I will be doing our normal hovering around, talking to people, and they'll be going, get out of here.
Yeah.
Leave me alone.
and
then we'll
you?
End up interviewing the guy who's shirtless, dressed as Hawkman. It turns out he is in no way connected with the convention.
Yeah.
And just like, he's always there.
He's always clearing his throat. Mm-hmm. That's why he's called Hawkman.
Oh, wow. There's been a lot of these so far. And I support them 100%.
Thank you.
You know why? Because I need you to have my back on this Valentine's Day thing because I'm a scared.
I don't like it.
No. It's just such a forced holiday. Any holiday
it's not just that. It's just I am not an organized person. I know I come across as an organized person
mm-hmm.
because I'm so organized. But the reality is, did you just look up at the ceiling as if to say you're not that organized, Dave?
I was just to see what God's opinion was. And he was watching TV.
I wasn't struck by lightning, so it must
be true.
He's
watching True Detective.
Oh, that's a good show.
Yeah, yeah, he seems to say it. God just said no spoilers.
That last episode?
Oh, wait, I know. Holy cow. Of course it was.
I'm not going to say anything more than that. It's going to say holy cow.
This is the red wedding of True Detective. Like, everyone's like, ooh. It's like, all right, everybody.
I don't know what the red wedding is. That's obviously a Game of Thrones reference, but other than that, I don't understand.
Okay, I'm going to throw one thing out here quick.
Okay.
And say, everyone, go see Lego Movie. It's great. Anyway, continue, please.
And also eat Frosted Frakes. They're great.
Frosted Frakes.
Yes.
So that's Jonathan Frakes cereal. They're all frosted beards. And if you eat enough of them, you'll look like Jonathan Frakes in the later series.
Thanks. Because I could have fixed that in post, but now I can't.
Oh, no. Post doesn't make them. It's Kellogg cereal. So, you know what? I don't even endorse these fucking puns anymore, guys. I know. Like, you're there and you couldn't be rolling your eyes more if you were Cookie Monster. I completely understand. We're very tired. We're very scared of Valentine's Day. We have just done our Completely Beatles podcast. That one, I believe, this week's was 6.5 hours. Yes. It's the first of a two-parter. We just got through half an album. A lot of things were said that we can't take back.
Yes.
Yeah. Then we had a pie eating contest. So we're Logie.
We shouldn't have gone to the pie eating contest. I'm not an organized person. So the idea of a holiday where I have to like be organized and like think, plan ahead and go and buy things, I'm not good at that.
No.
I don't mind for birthdays because I enjoy that. Like, because giving a birthday present or giving a present, it's something that you want to give that person.
Mm-hmm.
And you know they're going to like it because you know them and you've thought about it and you've decided on something that you think they're going to like a lot and you're excited to give it to them. Valentine's, to be honest with you, I just basically buy like the first thing that catches my eye that contains chocolate and then I just kind of pass it off in the morning.
Yeah, it's usually like too big a thing of chocolate. So it's like, you know, because chocolate, you
because you're trying to make up for the fact that you put about a minute's thought into it.
That's the other thing. It's like, you know, it should be thoughtful, but like you're thoughtful the rest of the damn year. Oh, you know, now that I'm thinking about it, Valentine's Day isn't a one-way street.
No.
Our wives really should be doing something for us too, right? So that you think they're planning something?
I don't know.
They're not. Let me tell you that right now. They're not.
Well, let me tell
you. You're not going to go home and see like rose petals on the bed.
The worst thing is in our house, for some reason, I don't know why this was instituted, but it's gifts in the morning, which I do not like. Like, I don't want to get up in the morning and find a birthday gift on the table.
What's your problem with that?
Well, because I don't know. Like, I have to go to work. You know what I mean? So it's not like. You can't like open
it.
You
can't use it.
You can't.
You want it when you come back from work and you're in like, ugh, I need a boost.
Now I need a boost. But I have time too. Like I can look at it. I can, you know, whatever over it. I can walk around the house marching proudly up and down the hallway.
Yeah. When you get your special new underpants.
Yeah. That's what I do. But in the morning, you can't. Like, you open it quickly.
And then
Quickly have your breakfast cereal.
Oh, now you got all that paper.
Now I got to make lunch. I got to make lunch for the kids. I got to eat breakfast. Okay, and meanwhile, everything, you know, I've forgotten about the gift. The card has flopped over. It's got milk on it.
Okay, well, I'm not your child, but if I was one of your children, let me give a tip to your children.
Yes.
Right now.
Yeah.
Make your dad breakfast and make your own damn lunch. That's a good good birthday present that seems to, like, take away almost half of these problems, right?
I guess so.
Like, the problem here seems to be you get your present and then you got to do your work around the house.
But the other
that's the wrong problem.
But here's the other thing.
Okay.
It's in the morning. You don't have time to remember that you're supposed to get a Valentine's Day present in the morning and then get it and bring it home with you.
No, unless you go to 7-Eleven.
That's no good.
Isn't it?
No.
Get a nice movie there that for like $5, something like that. A nice Steve Guttenberg thing.
Valentine.
Or a movie with one of the guys from Twilight that's not Twilight.
Mm-hmm.
Something like that.
So they, I don't know. I've never looked at the movies there.
They're pretty rough.
You're not.
Do you know what I like about 7-Eleven when you go there is
Slurpees.
I do like the Slurpees.
Yeah.
The movies are fairly reasonably priced. Then you get the video games.
Okay.
And these are video games that were popular 2-3 years ago.
Okay.
And they're up there. And they are full price. And I'm like, oh, this is for the dads that forgot the birthday.
Oh.
So one, Papa is paying full. Maybe it's Mama too.
Yeah.
But as your parents are playing your full.
We know it's the dad.
They don't know no fucking better. They just go, oh, they love the Xbox. And they pick up, you know, Tiger Woods, you know, 2009. Golf challenge and bring it home and the kids cry.
Yeah.
You know, because it's the crap games and it's old games and maybe not even compatible with your system anymore. It's just mean. Just mean.
But they have Slurpees.
Well, you can't get your wife a Slurpee, can you, in the morning unless you like pour it into like some kind of heart-shaped cup.
The other thing about
Hello Kitty.
Hello Kitty. The thing about Valentine's is that I feel like our culture is like, it's kind of like up the ante for everything. You know what I mean?
Well, they want to make more money off you.
Like before it was okay, you just came home with like a heart-shaped cardboard box with candies in it.
Yeah.
Now you got to, it's supposed to be like a hotel and a restaurant. You know what I mean? Like you're expected to like, it's supposed to be bigger than ever. You know, like you're supposed to parachute into the house with holding a box of chocolate and a big giant thing of roses and then come in and land on your wife's lap and then present her with tickets to fly to Europe for two nights in Paris. And then, you know, then you go to work.
Like, and then you come back and
she's in Paris. Yeah. With her boyfriend.
Oh, okay. Well, you got the house to yourself. You're watch like, some True Detective.
That's right.
Catch up.
I've already watched it.
Watch it with commentary.
Yeah. That's a good idea. I don't know. I just feel like.
No, it stinks.
Yeah.
It just stinks. It's people trying to make money off you, and trying to make money off like your private affections.
Yeah.
Boo. It's like also.
It's forced, though. It's like Mother's Day, too. I feel the same way about Mother's Day.
Wait. Let me just ask you this.
Okay.
Do you feel that way about Father's
Day?
Yes,
I do.
Being a dad.
I do not want to celebrate Father's Day.
You do not want to be celebrated on Father's Day. It's the only day that you're celebrated, and you do not want that celebration.
No, I have a birthday. That's the day I'm celebrating.
Oh, okay. Fair enough. So when your daughters, Millis and Phyllis.
Me and George Washington, we share a birthday.
Oh, do you?
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's good. Yeah. All right. And you both have wooden teeth.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So.
To match my wooden leg.
Yeah. That was terrible when they gave you the wooden leg. You want teeth to mash? I guess so. Smash. And they punch you in the face. That was a dark day.
With my leg.
Yeah. Your own leg.
Yeah.
Like your real leg. Not even the wooden one. But the other one.
That made more sense.
Oh, just a tough. That was a terrible Father's Day. Where that happens, like, hey, Papa, we got you a wooden leg. Oh, no. Then you have to cut off your real leg. Then they take your real leg and smash you in the mouth with it. And then the other daughter gives you wooden teeth. Oh, terrible times. So when
I don't like
when they present you with a Father's Day card, do you just look at it and go, ech?
No, I don't. But, I mean,
we love you, Daddy.
It was fine when they were little, but, you know, I just, who cares?
Well, I mean, they put a 20
Father's
in it, right?
Day. Father's Day.
Put a 20 in it.
It's all made up. It's just for the greeting card companies.
Is it?
That's who cares about that.
Do you know what
stuff.
They should have is greeting card day? Like, just call it that.
Yeah.
And just like, any greeting card will do, and we just exchange a greeting card.
Yeah. That's what, they would like that a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Those people, whoever they are.
What's the most recent holiday that's been made up? Was it Grandparents' Day?
That was made up?
Yeah, just like pulled.
Well, we just celebrated one that was made up. Family Day.
Oh, well, yeah, that was now is that that's not all of North America. That's just British Columbia, isn't it?
Just British Columbia, but next week is Family Day in the rest of the provinces across
Why
Canada.
Did we get ours early?
Because we're dumb. Because what they did was they voted on it.
Yeah.
And of course, everyone voted for the earlier day. Because, you know, people are greedy.
Well, you want a holiday earlier. Yeah. You don't want it later.
You don't want to wait. But it doesn't make any sense because you, like, for instance, next Monday, I will be working. The rest of Canada will be closed. So I will not, I'll be working at work, but we'll be doing no business because no one's around. I mean, well, besides local places.
It was weird. The mail was delivered at our place.
Okay.
On Family Day.
It's maybe.
And then I went to the local post office here, downstairs, and it's closed.
Yeah.
And it's like, well, what's going what's? And again, we're waiting on a check right now that's kind of important that's about 2 months late. So, which means I'm not going to Paris right now. But it's just like, you know what? I don't need a holiday right now to just like delay things even more. I don't need that. So, steady fist shake from me. Boo.
Do you enjoy Mother's Day?
Do I enjoy Mother's Day?
Yeah. Like, do you look forward to it? Like, I'm going to give mom something great for Mother's Day?
No, not really. No. I love my mom. And when I see her, I'm kind to her and take her to dinner and do things. But the idea of, like, having to write all your feelings into a card feels bad.
Yeah.
Like, it feels like all of these are makeup holiday, not made up as in like that someone made them up, but like you're making up for something.
Yeah.
You know, it feels like almost like every one of these cards is like an apology or just like, you know, something bad's gone down and now we're, you know, that's normally when you bring out the roses and the candy is like, well, I'm really sorry.
Yeah.
You know, and here you go. You know, and it's just, ugh, you know, I mean, I'm going to make dinner. But guess what I've done like for the last week? I've made dinners, you know, and I'm going to make something special. Guess what I've done for the last week? I make something special because you just want to.
Yeah.
I love spending time with my wife and I love, you know, being around her. And I don't like someone going, all right, hey, buddy, better up it. Better up the game. Mm-hmm. Now, we're saying this as two guys in happy relationships.
And the other thing is
boo frickin' who on us, eh? You know, that's the problem to have.
The other thing is I give my daughters chocolates for Valentine's Day.
Right.
Like.
And then you go, you're not going to eat those, are you?
That's right. Can I have them? Which is, you know, kind of pointless. Why? In terms of what Valentine's Day is.
Why?
Well, it's supposed to be like romantic love, I think, not just.
Well, I think it's expanded.
Familial love, it seems. Yeah, it's expanded, of course. Everything expands. Not only are you going to Paris, you have to take your kids with you, too. Let's have a romantic weekend in Paris with the kids.
You can't. You just send them off to do something. There's so much to do.
No.
Send them to the museum for
the
day.
That's mean.
You know what? First of all, them with you your kids are going to be so drunk, they're going to be passed out, and you can do whatever you want.
Is that right?
You know what? They're not going to be able to handle that much wine.
Mm-hmm.
It's fine.
Where's all this wine coming from?
Oh, they force it on the kids in Paris.
They nick nominate them?
Yeah. You know, like their 7-Elevens mm-hmm. there have Slurpees that are all just wine.
Mm.
And they're free and mandatory. And it's just because, you know what? If France has learned a long time ago that we don't want kids yip-yapping and full of beans.
Yeah.
That's why when you go to Paris, and this is true. If you go to, like, okay, today I went to a diner. And there was a kid who was maybe 1.5, and he was all over everybody's tables.
Okay.
Like he was just climbing over everything, and then getting a lot of like, Kyle, and it's just
nice parenting.
Oh, it's just like, grab him, you're stronger than him, pull him back, and just like, Kyle, and like he's gonna go, oh, me?
Yes.
Oh, I could not be more sorry, dust himself off, I've behaved terribly, please accept this card from Apology Day, and please enjoy. No, I'm just like, yeah, but okay, you go to France.
That's Saturday the 15th.
You go to like your Paris, you are going to see maybe like a child running with a red balloon with glee, and that's it.
That's
like
all.
They're not climbing on a table. Like if a kid climbed on a table, you get a new kid. Like they just pull that kid aside to the kitchen, mm-hmm. you just hear a quick, and then you get a new child, and that child is never seen again.
Okay.
And no one talks about it. That was his balloon being popped.
Oh, okay.
Now, I'm not saying he's...
I thought his neck was being snapped.
No. Oh, okay. No, they popped the balloon. Mm. And then the child, we don't know what happens to the child.
Okay.
You don't need to know what happens to the child.
Just the balloon.
You just get a new kid.
You just want to know what happens to the balloon.
That's right. But they know how to keep a kid reasonable. And the way they normally do that is you give them a nice Slurpee full of wine. And then the kid's a little bit sleepy and a little giddy, and that's fine. But he's not going to be climbing all over.
No.
By the way, this diner today that I was in with that, and I wanted to mention this to you, someone thought it was a good idea to play Christmas carols.
In the diner?
Yeah. Like they had,
was that a customer was thought that was
a
good idea?
Yeah, a customer thought it was a good idea. They had the jukebox and still had some on. And I'm
hilarious.
I'm going to tell you something, Dave.
Yeah.
I really enjoyed them.
Oh,
I was like,
good.
You know what? These are non-pressure. I've got no Santa Claus is coming to town. That sounds fine. I don't have to buy nothing.
Yeah.
This is really relaxing now, all these songs. They were playing like some old-timey ones. It was really beautiful.
I really like Christmas. I like buying presents and stuff for Christmas.
I like Christmas carols when it's not Christmas.
Apparently, yeah.
Because you get a little numb from it. It's like working in the chocolate factory.
Well, you don't want to work in a store that plays Christmas carols.
No. No, you don't.
No.
At your workplace, do they play music while you're working, or is it silent?
They play a staticky radio in another room with a door closed. I have no idea what the purpose of it is. My boss.
How is that sound? Is that good?
It's just kind of. You can hear like a.
Around the clock tonight.
But no, but it's not even that. They play like modern music. So it's like kind of like Virgin, you know, Virgin Radio with a bunch of like kid hits and stuff like that. That are way out. I don't even know the boss. Because they don't think they know how to change the station. So it's stuck on the station that's slightly staticky because it's not tuned properly. And it's on a station that in no way do they want to listen to.
I wonder if they're listening to white noise as well, just like trying to hear voices in there, David Lynch style.
What's weird is my bossette, my lady boss, basically follows me around turning lights off behind me. Yet it's perfectly fine to leave a radio playing not tuned into the station in another room with a door closed. And the reason the door's closed is because that room gets cold because she won't turn the heater on in it, the electric heater. So she keeps the door closed so that the heat doesn't go into that room. But she has a radio on in there.
Well, from what
riddle me this.
From what I heard, she was visited by three ghosts on Christmas.
I wish she
and
was.
And the ghosts just went meh by the end of it. And
they could not shake her. They
just could not do it. Yeah, she kept turning the lights off, and the ghosts were like, "I'm scared." I was like, "Why?" Because there's a lot of ghosts around. I don't like being around. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm not scared of myself, but there's two other ghosts, and the last guy's really creepy. Stop turning the lights off. And I'm going to turn off the lights. And they went, fuck you. And they took off. And that was the end of that.
Yeah, it's a strange, strange. That's all I'll say about it. But there is music playing. That's the good part of it.
Almost music.
Almost music playing. Faintly audible. Almost music.
Yeah, well, maybe they are subscribed to faintlyaudible.com.
That's what it is.
Which is a good little...
A music station for people who don't want to listen to music. But what's weird is my boss... He'll play music in his office.
Right.
He'll put on YouTube videos. Basically, he listens to Hallelujah. Leonard Cohen's Hallelujah, which he sings along with.
Oh, no.
And then he'll listen to Don't Cry For Me, Argentina.
Oh, no.
But the one he likes the best is the Madonna version from the movie, which he told to me because she's the best singer.
Here's what I think is happening.
And I said, well, that's totally unfair because you're judging it from actresses singing on stage who don't have the benefit of auto-tune and all the tricks in the studio. True. You know, so they're singing like live. If Madonna did that, she'd sound like a crow.
Well, here's what I suspect happens is he plays the Alleluia, which eventually will, and he looks himself right in the mirror, like makes that eye contact, just looks himself right in the mirror, sings along to it.
Yeah.
And then every so often he will start to cry because it's a very sad song. The second he starts to cry, he just has the other deck and just goes flip and flips it over like the other YouTube channel and flips it to that. And it's like, Don't Cry For Me, Argentina. And he smartens right up, just sucks in those tears, gets it together, puffs it all up. Yeah. It's like, I'm feeling a little bit too prideful. Click back to Alleluia. Just bring it down a notch. He's just playing the uppers. He's playing the downers. Mm. Just getting that nice balance high.
Thinking about it actually lately, because the Olympics is on, he's been playing that Olympic theme, kind of Olympic song that was popular here 4 years ago. Do you remember that one?
I'm not sure.
I can't sing it. My mind will not allow me to contain
it. Is the song Where Oh Where Oh Where Is Snow? Is that the song?
No, maybe it is. I don't
know. No, it's not. Okay. I'm just making that up. Oh, okay. Because we didn't have much snow.
No, we wouldn't.
Though we did have more snow than Sochi is having right now.
Yeah, exactly. And it wasn't wet.
Warmer than us, Sochi. Yes. They learned nothing from us. Nothing. Don't have them in tropical places. We're going to have them in Hawaii. What's your problem?
It's something like, I can dream, da 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 da. No, I can't think about it. Sorry. I wish I could. But
there was a thing on the Olympics the other day. And it was a skier. And he was doing the long ski jump.
Okay.
And he's pretty good, but not good enough. And lands, and the announcer goes, well, his Olympic dream's over. Mm. And I thought to myself, no, he's not. He's still he's in the Olympics. He's in the Olympics. Yeah. He's going back to Olympic Village.
Going
to
have sex?
He's going to have Olympic sex.
Sure.
You know, they have little medals for that.
Well-known. That's a well-known part of the Olympic Village.
I always wonder if they interbreed and, like, have super babies.
No, I don't think they interbreed, but they certainly interfuck.
Well, they should.
Yeah.
You got to.
They're all good-looking young people.
What are you going to do?
What the hell are you going to do after?
Well, I mean, you can't wash up afterwards, which is sad. You know, but I thought, like, yeah, what are you saying? Like, his Olympic dream's over. Mm. Like, this is fine. You know, it's like, so he came in, like, fifth?
Sure.
Oh, yeah. Boo, loser.
Yeah.
I'm like,
yeah,
a little harsh.
Even if you came in 12, you're, like, top 12 people in the world.
You're an Olympian. Yeah. Like, the end. Like, you're great.
No,
you're
fine. I agree.
You got the outfit.
I mean, it would be nice to win a medal, obviously. But just being there is awesome.
But no one's going to even really remember that. Like, if you go, like, I was in the Olympics. Fantastic. What'd you get? Bronze. Hey, that's swell. You know, it's just like, just being in the Olympics is enough. You know,
bronze is amazing.
No, but I mean, that swell is in, like, it's not a notch up from I was in the Olympics and I, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
You got gold. Yeah, that's good. You get a Mr. Juicy ad, like here in Canada. You're doing a juice box ad and there you go.
Did you, I mean, we've had some great stories. I love the Olympics. I love the Olympics, particularly the Winter Olympics, because there's more sports in it that I enjoy to watch, particularly curling and hockey.
Because curling is a sport that if you start practicing now, you might be in the Olympics in 8 years.
Why do you say that?
Because anyone can curl.
Oh, you've never curled then, if you think that.
No.
Have you curled?
No, but of all the
sports. Oh, my gosh.
No. But of all the sports.
Yes.
Like, Dave, if you and I were going to start, you know.
We would never do half-pipe.
We're going to start long jumping on the skis.
Yeah.
You and I are going to start playing hockey. The only one that we have any chance at.
Okay.
Curling.
That's true.
You know, obviously.
To a degree.
You have to be like, amazing and you practice.
Mm-hmm.
But it's the one that's our best shot.
What's interesting, I was watching Tournament of Hearts, which is the women's curling championship here in Canada.
Okay.
And which for some reason is sponsored by Scotty, so it's Scotty's Tournament of Hearts. But it seems so terrible to have a toilet tissue company as your sponsor.
I believe they're also napkins.
I guess so. Is that much better? Serviettes, which is what we call napkins here in Canada.
What do we call toilet paper?
Toilet paper.
What do we call it? Called toilet tissue, I believe, here.
Toilet tissue? That
toilet
sounds much
tissue.
Better.
TT.
Sounds like your bum is sneezing.
Yeah, so your bums, that's what we call you.
Yeah.
Poops are bum sneezes.
Bum sneezes. So
that's why when you hear someone fart, you've got to go, God bless you, sir.
So I was watching the women play their curling. And basically what seemed to be what they were doing, their main strategy was to smash each other's rocks. You know how it's played, right?
Yeah.
So maybe people are listening and don't know how it's played. So
if you don't know how it's played, what I recommend you do.
Oh, sorry.
This is what I recommend you do.
Sure.
Is you rent yourself Mario and Sonic at the Sochi Winter Olympic Games.
Okay.
They've got all the games, and you will learn how to play basically most of them.
Okay.
Okay, please continue.
So, well, curling is a pretty simple sport. At one end of the rink, you have a circle with another circle inside it, and there's a center circle. And the idea is that
it's the CBC logo.
Sure. And the idea is you get your rock as close as you can to the center.
Right.
Now, you have maybe, I think, five rocks. Each team has five rocks, and the idea is to strategically place your rocks so that in the end, one of you will be, have
closest
to the center.
And when you are throwing your rock, you've got to yell, "I want a rock!" And everyone goes,
"Yeah,
rock!" And that's important.
That's
to do.
Right.
And then you try to get everyone else's rocks off.
Yeah.
Is this correct?
I think you're thinking of hurry hard. You're just getting it mixed up.
Okay. When you hurry hard, you do get everyone's rocks off.
Yeah, exactly right. And so hurry hard is, of course,
a very sexy sport.
It's a very sexy sport. And, but it just seemed like the women were just like smashing each other's rocks out of the way. They would just hurl it down there, smash, and everything would go all over the place.
Right.
And I was watching the men's. They just had the provincials. I guess they're, for some strange, well, that's the great thing about the Olympics is before the Olympics, they have these little tournaments because they want the Team Canada to have some practice before they go over to the Olympics.
Makes sense.
So they have the various provincial teams, and then they have Team Canada, which is separate from the provincial teams. And the hope is that Team Canada beats all those provincial teams, so they'll go over there with a little bit of a head of steam and some confidence. And so,
if they don't, and the provincial team wins, and then Team Canada goes over, and then Team Canada wins, then that provincial team feels pretty good because they're like, "Yeah, we beat the gold medalists." Mm-hmm. Anyway, just saying.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the men's curling, they won the gold medal at the 2010 games here, and the women won the silver. So,
boom,
pretty good. So, but then I was watching the men play. Now, you think men, smashy, but theirs was like completely different. They were all doing these actual curls where they spin the rock as it goes down, and they sweep in such a way that it actually swoops around and then goes in behind rocks and stuff. It was different kind of, I was surprised how different their strategies
were. What I don't understand about that is, like, I understand many sports, a la hockey, having your separate women's and men's, but it seems to me like curling feels like bowling. Like, there's no reason it should be separate. Is there a reason that you can think of that curling should not be intersexed?
I don't know. I don't really, I've never done it. So, well, I have done it, but I've never played it like a lot.
Because the guys could be too smashy, and like the ladies wouldn't have a chance. Like, it feels to me like the distance it is, they've got just as much chance.
I think the women's rink is shorter than the men's.
Oh, is that right?
I think they have a longer. I think so. I'm not absolutely
sure. Okay. Again, because to me, it feels like bowling, you know, where it's like there shouldn't be any separation.
But even in bowling, there's separate men and women's leagues.
Why is that then? What's that mean? It's the same thing. Like, say, again, let me give you this. Like, how about like an archery? Is the archery separate from men and women?
I believe so, yes.
Again, why?
Well, men can they can have a more, like a stronger bow than women can.
Okay, but does that help your aim?
Well, it certainly helps with your distance. So okay, it depends how far you're shooting.
Fair enough. Let's take that off the table. Let's go with guns. Well, you're shooting like a rifle or something. Yeah. Should there men and women be separate in that?
I don't think so, but that's not, I mean, there's no Olympic sport where you just shoot a gun. I mean, the one you're thinking of is biathlon.
Yeah,
so once again, that's distances.
There's no straight just pistol shooting in any kind of Olympics.
No.
Okay.
Most of them are like there's the decathlon, what is it called? Triathlon, where you have...
I don't know, are you thinking three or
there's
10?
There's tetrathlon and there's triathlon. Tetrathlon is riding, like horse jumping.
Okay.
Or jumping on horses, not over horses. Shooting, swimming, and running.
Yeah.
And tetrathlon, I think, cuts out the horse part of it.
Okay.
So they all kind of combine. So you know, you are kind of tired when you shoot and things like that. But I think it's just distances and things that are different in those distances.
I would be interested in that. I will look that up.
Yeah.
Now, there's nothing horse-related in the Winter Olympics.
No, there's not.
Okay. Well, you know.
Horse skiing.
Sleigh pulling.
There's horse skiing.
Horse skiing?
Yeah.
Or do you call it just...
You ride on the horse, and then there's also horse jumping, where they do the long horse slides on the hill.
Wouldn't that be terrifying?
That would be terrible for the horse. It would just be murder for the horse.
Oh, my gosh.
All that weight landing on its legs.
Oh, poor thing.
Poor thing indeed.
You know who else it's bad for is people, I would say.
Yeah, the people on the horses and at the bottom of the
hill. No, I just mean people doing the skiing. That always looks like, well, this looks very dangerous.
Well, I think they land in such a way that they, you know, that they land on a slant, so they're kind of landing and going forward.
Yes.
It'd be much more dangerous if they landed and just stopped.
Yeah, I've watched too many, I think, like where people are coming down a hill and then something goes wrong.
Agony
and then
of
it's,
defeat?
Well, it's, well, yeah. But like this year, and then all of a sudden someone's Raggedy Andy going down the hill and going, oh, that's not at all good.
But
that's,
you remember on Wide World of Sports, there was
Agony
of Defeat, and there was this person having this terrible ski accident where it just looks like he's dead. Actually, he walked away from that.
Now, I've got a question for you about that. Mm. Now, we're talking again, ABC's Wild World of Sports. You can look this up on YouTube.
Jim McKay.
You remember the skiing completely.
Yeah.
Who was the thrill of victory?
I don't know. Who is it? Muhammad Ali?
I don't know.
Muhammad Ali?
I keep thinking it's I keep thinking it's a race car, but like I'm probably wrong. But I'm just thinking like you had a guy who was the thrill of victory.
Yeah.
You can't remember him.
Yeah, yeah.
Agony of defeat. Right in your head forever.
Oh, man, that was because it's so terrible. It's so terrible looking.
Well, they're also basically saying to you on this show, listen, I don't want to tell you, but this kind of stuff could happen too. Mm. So even if you don't like sports, you like watching a guy wipe out, right?
Yeah.
We can maybe throw a couple of these in for you. Knock yourself out.
That was a great show, and it's sad that they don't have it anymore.
Now, why don't you explain to me what that show was? Was it just like any sports?
Yeah, it was almost like an anthology of sports.
Okay.
And it wouldn't even be like a complete...
Spanning the globe.
It wouldn't even be a complete game. You would just watch like highlights of things.
Now, when they said spanning the globe at the beginning, did they really span the globe or was it all just North American stuff?
It was probably mostly North American stuff, but they did show soccer highlights or football highlights.
Okay.
European football and, you know, just weird kind of things like cliff diving in Acapulco. And
yeah, I remember cliff diving and them going like, well, this could be very dangerous if this goes wrong. Like, yeah, that does look really dangerous.
And so it was kind of a neat thing. Like nowadays, like when you watch... Like, we have all these sports channels, you know, all this proliferation of channels, and there's like 14 sports channels.
Too specific.
All showing poker.
Don't even start with that. How is that possible?
Well, I noticed it because it's on in the afternoon, because there's no sports on in the afternoon, apparently. So when I'm at the gym, there's at least two TV stations tuned to poker.
Is this... Okay.
But I take my glasses off when I do my cardio, so I don't actually know what's going on.
My wife and I were at a sushi restaurant the other day. Mm-hmm. It's almost always got the Olympics on. We went in to watch the Olympics. Poker's on.
Yeah.
Poker.
Yeah.
Like, you've got the biggest sporting event. What are you doing? Like, at the best of times, poker. The only thing that would be worse is Ultimate Fighting. Because now I'm getting a bunch of blood and whatever flying around.
Yeah, that's weird too.
I don't need that. Yeah. I don't need the grappling. I don't need that kind of stuff and those angles, like while I'm trying to eat my roll.
Yeah.
I don't need that. But I just don't see the thing with poker. I just don't get it. Like, what's the everyone in poker, and I don't like to generalize, but this is just truth, looks like they're so sticky. You could just like come up with any object, like put a stapler and put it on their foreheads, and they would just stick there. They just stick there, and they're all wearing their sunglasses, so you don't even see their eyes. So it's like, that's all I want to see is I want to see their fucking eyes. So like, I don't see how they're feeling.
The worst guys are like, they wear a baseball cap pulled down, and then they have a hoodie over that, and then they have sunglasses on.
Like,
you're like, this isn't fair. Isn't like poker face part of like the...
Exactly. Like, I would see almost, like, I'm with you. If you're playing in a casino, dress how you want.
Yeah.
But dude, okay, no, all right, let me see. We actually were talking about this, my wife and I, the other day, who I love very much. Happy Valentine's Day, honey.
We were saying,
here's what you need to make poker interesting. You need to make it like wrestling.
Yeah.
You need to have the Iron Sheik.
Okay.
You need to have like, who do people hate? And it's like that poker player, you know, the homophobic Russian. And it's just like, I'm going to give this money to homophobic charities and keep the gays away. And like, oh, we don't want that guy to win it all. Boo, boo. And who else is it going up against? The guy who just came out to his parents and it's really cool. Woo! That guy, and he's playing poker. Now, like, I'm rooting for him.
Yeah.
Let's see. I hope that guy wins.
Yeah.
You know, or like, you know.
Rather than the kind of personality vacuum that exists.
Yeah. Or like, you know, the guy who's like, you know, with Al Qaeda or whatever, and he's just there, you know, the mad bomber, you know, is playing poker and stuff like that. And G.I. American
but
is like.
But they've tried to bring that in. Like I say, I don't know what's going on really. I can only see it. But it seems to me that they try to have them talking between hands and stuff like that.
But they won't do it. But they just mum up.
Oh, okay. But this seems like it. But this seems really awkward looking too.
Yeah,
like,
none of them can talk.
They're not personalities.
Just take off your fucking sunglasses. You know, it's like you have to in school. Yeah. Take off your fucking sunglasses. You're on TV.
Yeah.
You know, even Horatio Kane takes off his glasses once in a while. He's going to do a bit. You know, he can just have it on for a while, but then we got to see your eyes or there's no point, man.
Can I ask what sushi restaurant you're at? Was it the places you'll eat Roe, the Dr. Sushi? restaurant.
Okay. Did you want to really know, or do you want to just do some more of those?
I just wanted to do that joke.
Sure. Okay. That's fine. Oh, the places you'll row.
Oh, the places you'll eat row.
Okay.
Yeah.
Mine was the katsu and the hatsu. Okay. I don't know. I think katsu might be a type of deep fried chicken. Katsu? I think so. Chicken katsu. That is a good joke. Well done, me.
One fish, two fish, red fish, raw fish. That's the restaurant.
Okay. Yeah. All right. No, I got nothing. I was trying to think of one on Hop on Pop, but that's usually my go-to.
Fushi and sushi.
What's that?
Fox and socks. It's kind of desperate, I'll admit. It.
Okay.
I don't know much.
If I ran the circus, there's another one for you. Mulberry Street.
No, I know
Street.
Lots of them. I just don't know much about sushi, so I can't think of, you know. Like, I think mimosas are kind of a sushi. It's a terrible problem.
Oh, my gosh. That's a shame.
It's hard to drink it.
That's a real shame, because you do not eat sushi is the reason.
Yeah.
But you've had a California roll.
Yes, I have.
You don't mind a California roll?
It's okay. I don't mind one.
Okay.
Well, I'll eat one,
yeah.
And then I feel like that's enough.
That is enough, because it's just mayonnaise, man. There's okay. No need for it.
Is that what it is, really?
Yeah. It's mayonnaise and pollock.
Oh.
It's not even... well, you can maybe get a real crab one, but that's cooked crab. Who doesn't like cooked crab? Delicious. It's cooked crab.
It's good.
And then you add mayonnaise. Well, you're a human being.
It's good.
You're going to love a little mayonnaise. Yeah. Put those two together. That's fantastic. Sure. Of course you're going to like a California roll. That's how they get you. Get you in. Get you in with that.
Yeah.
That's how they hook you.
Mm.
Yeah. And
that's
then
really
they, and then all of a sudden they try to hook you in with something like a Negatoro roll. And you're like, I don't know about this. What is it? It's tuna with onion. That does sound good. I do like a tuna with onion. It's raw. No, I don't want to. Can't do it. Psychologically, can't do it.
Isn't tuna fish just from a can raw, though?
No.
Oh, it's not? It's cooked?
Yeah. Tuna fish is cooked
okay.
in a can. Yeah.
I didn't know.
Absolutely.
That. It's cooked in the can, or
not
it's cooked,
all.
Then put in the can.
Well, you could double cook in a can. Dave, you're the fisherman.
I did not fish for tuna.
No, but you should still know. Like that.
Oh, for tuna.
No, did you never feed your children tuna fish as when they were young?
Of course, I still eat it.
But you didn't know whether it was raw or cooked?
I wasn't sure.
Okay, well, I'll tell you. It is cooked. Same with salmon. It's also cooked.
Mm.
Yeah.
Makes sense, actually.
Shrimp, also
I should have
cooked.
Known that. I should have known that.
No,
what,
no.
What about clams?
Oh, that's a good question. I do not know what the deal with clams is.
Because you don't like clams.
No, that's my thing. That's a little bit disturbing. Though I will. Okay, and then we'll explain this right now. Dave and I did come back from a restaurant.
Yes.
Dave had a little clam chowder.
Yeah,
the clam chowder. Mm-hmm. And what type of clam chowder was it? Your white or red?
It was a New England. Yes.
You didn't have the Red Tide clam chowder.
Didn't have. I don't mind a Manhattan clam chowder. It's
okay.
Fine.
I call it Red Tide.
This was a New England.
Right.
Also, but it had carrots in it or something, some sort of orange thing in it.
But I had a terrible experience with clam chowder once with terrible neighbors who were mean to me and then gave me this terrible food. So that threw me off chowder forever.
But their meanness worse or their terrible clam chowder?
It was surprising. Like here's the thing. We went out with another family and I think at the time I'm 13 maybe,
okay.
maybe something like that. And I did something that was, in retrospect, I'm going like, not bad at all. And the dad just yelled at me.
Mm.
And, you know, my dad was a real yelling kind of jerk sometimes about things. And we were on Galliano Island. And as a 13-year-old, all I thought to myself was, I don't need to take this fucking crap from this guy. I have to take it from him, but I don't have to take it from him.
Yeah, no,
and then
exactly.
I'm like, ah, shit, I do, because I'm in Galliano and I got no way out. So I had to like just clam up, literally. And I'm like, oh. And then he made us all dig for clams.
Oh.
And, you know. And
that's
then,
a lot of work.
And, yeah, it was fine. You know, and then, but the other thing was like one of his kids was like laughing at that, which is like, just like, ah, the old man's taking down someone else for once. I'm like, oh, ugh. So yeah, it made me angry, and you know, you couldn't complain to it to your folks. They'd be like, well, what did you do? I was like, for fuck's sake! And to this day, you know, the guy pisses me off. He later on he came to a show that I was doing. Right, I was doing like Fiddler on the Roof.
Okay.
At our school,
and you were Tevye.
And actually, you were there. You were there because we were talking about something sketch comedy related that we were doing with like one of our Footlight shows.
Okay.
And we're goofing around and we get into like a bit of a riff.
Yeah.
And then he turns to me and goes like, hey, what are you on, drugs? Gives me one of those. And by that point, I'm like, I don't know, 17?
Yeah.
And all I was thinking then was just like, I really don't need to take this shit now from you. One more of these and I might push you down the stairs. I am really steamed at this.
And those stairs were steep.
Because we were having a good time
and
goofing. Mm-hmm. And just like, oh, so the only reason I would be like this is because I'm on drugs.
Yeah.
And little did he know, we'd be doing this bullshit when we're well into our 40s. Ha ha. Who's laughing now? Certainly not the audience.
That's right. And we're on drugs.
That's right. Well, that's what most of our emails are. Like, are you guys on drugs?
I think we did get that one, actually, from one of our comments on iTunes.
Is that right?
Is that, yeah, that something about how good our drugs must be or something. I can't quite remember now. It's
been, well, we are in Vancouver.
We are in Vancouver.
You know, if you'd like to try some of that stuff, I am right up the street from Gastown. You know, I could go to Chinatown, Gastown. Yep. We can get anything you need.
Anywhere you want.
But by the way, that's a service we offer on this show. We will mail you any Vancouver drugs that you want. We can just whip down the street.
Sure. Get you some China White.
Get you some, yeah, that's it. I don't know any others. I'm now trying to, here's what I'm thinking. I was just trying to right now think of Dr. Seuss things that
could be changed into.
Yeah.
Oh, dear.
Oh, you know what? Oh, I got it. Fix on socks. There we go. We're fine.
Fix on socks. There you go.
The cat on the horse. Wait, that doesn't make sense. Cat in horse would have to be. Damn it. I got nothing. Folks, it's very late for us. And clearly we're on drugs.
The cat on the hash. That's the one.
Oh, cat on the hash.
Yeah, that's the
one. But again, it's cat in the hash.
I got one.
Sure. Okay, ready? Okay.
Yep.
Okay, here we go, everybody. You all ready?
Okay.
Okay. The Grinch who stole my TV.
That's good.
All right, good.
I like it.
Okay. Everything's gonna be fine. Now, everything's fine. Yeah. We all got centered.
We got control.
We're all scared. We're all on that tightrope wire, and we all started to wobble a bit, and we almost fell off like that nice family. But we righted ourselves, and we're okay.
When I was a teenager, and I would talk to people that
by the way, everyone take a drink.
But and I talked to people who didn't
all take a drink.
People who didn't know me, they had different reactions to me, usually
one
negative.
Was hello handsome,
hello handsome. The other was, well, they would find out that I didn't drink or take drugs.
Yeah, one of the reactions would be, I wonder what you'll look like when you're in your 40s. And the answer is, you will not change a lick.
Who's that?
You.
Really?
Yes. You know that every time you go to a reunion, it's just like, what the hell, man? Why haven't you changed it all? We're all looking like shit. You got a full head of hair. You're still in great shape. Shut up.
Well, the
you're wearing glasses now.
Here's the secret. Have the exact same haircut in your grad picture as you have now. That's all it takes.
You also do wear your
lucky
robe.
Enough.
You wear your graduating
robe. I do wear my
grad
robe. I wear my grad robe. But luckily for me, I parted my hair, had a short haircut with a side part,
right.
And I still wear that.
Right.
And I even wore glasses then.
Right.
So
that's why I've got my flock of seagulls haircut. Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
Because I just find something that works.
You can't get rid of it.
Keep it going.
You can't get rid of it.
Can't get rid of it.
I mean, I grew my hair out when I was in my 20s. I grew my hair long. I had hair down past my shoulders.
Right. And I got my makeup on, like the mm-hmm. Cure. Like, mm-hmm. I got the permanent makeup done.
Yeah.
Because that saved money over the long term.
You had a lipstick smear tattooed onto your face.
Yep.
And also the kind of runny mascara.
Yep.
Yeah. And then you backcomb your hair.
Yep.
Yeah. And it's quite a look. Yeah.
But please continue.
What I like best about that look
is
we're talking about the guy from The Cure, Robert Smith.
Yes.
It looked great when he was in his 20s.
Mm-hmm.
Now that he's in his 60s. I don't think it looks so great anymore. Like, there's something about this portly man with a smeared lipstick and eyeliner and backcombed hair that just doesn't work anymore for me. I don't know what it is.
Yeah, well, again, the Flock of Seagulls guys probably don't look so great either.
They don't have hair like that.
No.
They're smart. Or I was going to say,
people would think two things of you.
Well, they would find out I didn't drink or take drugs.
Right.
And their first reaction wasn't like a hostility. It was usually like curiosity, like, you don't drink or take drugs? That's weird. This was in the 80s, people. And then...
No one would think you were not drinking because either one, you had a problem. Like nowadays, if you say, like, I don't drink, I'm like, oh, maybe there's...
Yeah, that's right.
Maybe you used to drink a little too much.
That's right.
Maybe his parents, maybe someone he loved, maybe there's reasons.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. But back then, no dice.
Mm-hmm. He doesn't drink and he's a Christian. Well, 12-step program, obviously. Mine was the 14-step program. Then after they talked to me for about 5 minutes, then they would say, Dedrick, you don't need drugs. So that was, I don't know why.
Right. And then you found out you really did need penicillin.
Mostly because I'm a weirdo.
Yeah.
It's the usual problem I have with talking to people who don't know me very well.
All I thought when the guy said that to me was like, you know, are you on drugs? And it was really accusingly. Like, he really thought I was. And I just
I remember
wanted,
this, but...
Well, again, like I was just like, you small-minded...
Yeah.
Piece of crap.
Yeah.
You know, and again, I'm a kid at that time. So
I hope
I'm,
we turned our backs to him.
I think said no. And yeah, we went back to having a good time.
Yeah.
And then
good for us.
Yeah. And then I think like later on I did the show and it was like, yeah, there you go. There's some, yeah.
We gave out our Footlights lunch bags.
I sort of remember that. What was this about? By the way, everybody, we're talking about, we Dave and I sort of met in high school when we were doing
Afternoon choir.
First of all, afternoon choir.
And lunchtime choir.
That's right. And then, we also Dave put up a little ad for a sketch group and that's where we sort of met. At that point, I had been doing sketches for a local TV show called Switchback.
So you thought, this seems natural. Why wouldn't I do one for a high school troupe? Perfect for me. From television to high school stage.
Well, I was writing compulsively, as you do at the time. It's just like, I got no choice. I'm going to be writing these anyway. I might as well put them on stage.
Yeah.
So that's where we kind of met.
You were the Paul McCartney of the Footlights.
Sure. All right.
You were just Mr. Production.
Right. I thought I was the Pete Best, but okay.
You weren't the best. We did a live show. We did a lunchtime live show. We publicized it like crazy. And then we said the first 50 people would get a free Footlights lunch bag. It was just a paper bag that I had written on each one of them in two colors, Footlights Club, and then drew this red.
And you actually put a lot of work into those.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, there was a lot of work. Now, this is the thing. Like, here's my tip to you that if they're starting off in any kind of comedy or anything.
Yeah.
You know, a gag's great, but a gag that you actually give a damn about makes people go, whoa, you really did that, huh? Okay. And so people kept their lunch bags, apparently, and they told me about that over time. Yeah.
Is that right?
Yeah, I know some people that still have their lunch bags.
I still have one. I kept one for myself.
Yeah. You know what? A little bit of effort, you know.
I don't know where it is, but I know I kept one somewhere in my papers. I guess that was, you asked what we did. We did lunchtime shows. That's what we did. And I don't think we did very many of them because it was really hard to motivate other teenagers to follow as obsessively your interests.
Now, we're saying that we did not, when you're talking about motivation, we're not talking about the audience because we usually would get a fairly good audience.
We have a good audience, yeah.
Like nowadays, when I think about trying to, because I still do sketch, trying to get an audience into a theater, you know, it's just like, oh, that captive audience. Boy, I was spoiled for that, where you could get like a really good sized crowd that would listen. Like, that's the other thing is like that many teenagers in a room and they're not yapping.
Yeah.
Wow. That's something pretty good.
This is before cell phones, so.
That's true.
They had nothing to do but what? Look at us.
I think kids used to also talk, you know, back then, though. I seem to remember that was
that's maybe true.
Something that did occur.
Yeah, we used to fill the theater, like right back to the back of the theater.
Oh, that's crazy.
And there was a pretty big auditorium.
That's craziness. You know what that reminds me of? It reminds me, again, and I've probably said this before, but it reminds me of like on the Partridge Family, where they would be the regular family, then they'd go and they'd play like a big room, like big room!
Yeah.
And then they'd go back to their normal lives and no one would give two shits. And it was like exactly like that. It was exactly. Just like you do the show, you get like, oh, wow, the audience and laughing, and the applause, and then like walk down the hall and no one gives a damn. No one can, like, you're invisible.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, that might not be the worst thing in the world.
Well, I was working on the 10-year reunion committee for a grad reunion. I was phoning people for it, which is totally up my alley because I love the phone so much.
Oh, yeah. Hello, friend.
Hello, person I don't know. Do you want to come to the we don't live. This is the wrong number. Sorry. But I was talking to this person. And
he died in what?
And I mentioned
horse slaughter. What's that mean? Sorry, did he slaughter the horses? Did the horses slaughter him? What do you mean six of one, a half a dozen of the other? What are you crying openly for? Are those kids crying in the background? Well, why'd you bring it up in front of them? Just tell me he's not available. Well, okay. Do you want to come to the grave? Oh, you do? Okay, well, just come. No, you can't come by a horse. So you still have a couple of horses. Anyway.
So, you're mean to horses. With your horse jumping, you know. I was talking to this one of the other ladies on the grad reunion thing, and I somehow Footlights came up, and she's like, "What was that?" I said, "The Footlights Club." I said, "Were you at the grad breakfast?" She said, "Yeah." I said, "Well, we won an award for it." She goes, "Yeah, I don't remember that." I was like, "But I won an award! I had to walk up through the whole thing and get an award."
Did you? I don't remember the award.
I got it because I was graduating that year.
Oh, okay.
So you wouldn't have got it because you were a year.
I was just a schmuck.
You're a year behind me. So
yeah,
a couple of us got an award for doing the Footlights Club. It was kind of nice. Kind of nice to recognize that. But yeah, it was just kind of odd. Like, yeah, you're right. No one within this particular, it was a big school. It was a big school. So I can see that you just part of something. Because if someone had told me they were on the rugby team, I wouldn't have known who they were.
That's true.
I would have known that at all.
That's true.
And like, they were big deals too, or they were bigger deals than Footlights Club, I should say.
Yeah, it seemed like there was infinite people to see infinite stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's interesting. Yeah,
I wouldn't have known a single one of those people. I would have known one of them, but that's just because he was kind of a traitor to his cause. He would actually talk to people who weren't involved in sports at school. So.
Oh wow!
Yeah, it was strange fellow.
So it was a cliquey school.
Don't you think North Delta was pretty cliquey?
I have no idea because I spent as little time at school as possible.
Oh, okay.
I was always like, I was always faking notes and leaving. By that point, I'd kind of written off school and was doing as little as possible, but I enjoyed doing the sketch stuff. So I'd come around for that. And that bought me enough goodwill from the teachers that I think they cut me some slack in other ways.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And that's where I learned that's where I learned that being charming can let you do things you shouldn't.
Yeah. I learned that a long time ago.
Yeah.
As I've said before, if I had a teacher who was my friend, I would never do any schoolwork. Just because they wouldn't let me get away with it. If I had a teacher who was strict, oh man, did I work hard. But a teacher who was lax with me, oh, I just walked all over them back and forth. But when I first went to North Delta, and I started a year before you, we came, in those days, it's different now, but in those days there were feeder junior high schools. So you went, usually went to grade 7 in elementary school. Then you went into a junior high feeder school from 8 to 10.
Now, when we say feeder school, it just makes you think you're talking feeder fish.
Yeah, exactly. That's what we were.
Oh.
And then we fed from those schools into the senior high school.
Okay.
It's different now. They're all senior high school, or they're all secondary schools.
Oh, I don't like that at
all.
That's
a dumb thing.
I don't like that at all. I love the idea of like because I had such a horrible time.
Transitioning.
I had such a horrible time in junior high that it was so great having that break to move to a totally different school. And you got to
have totally different people.
So different, a fresh start. Yeah. And you're going, instead of that, just like, ugh. Yeah, also the feeling like when you show up in school, you're going to be here forever.
Yeah.
It'll be forever. And those years are the long years.
And it's a small population. Like what was nice about, like I had a few friends at junior high, but because I had moved to North Delta in grade 6, I didn't really have, and kind of late in the year, I didn't really have a lot of friends. And the friend that I made, he moved away. For one thing, he was in a different homeroom than me in because we had a weird elementary school. We actually left in grade 6 and went to junior high in grade 7.
Okay.
So we were like the only grade 7s there that from the elementary school until grade 8. And then a bunch of other elementary schools joined us.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So it was kind of weird. So you're just kind of...
Small fry,
you know, and of course grade 10, they just seem ginormous.
Yeah, it's mutants.
And what would be really weird would be having grade 12s because they would just seem like adults.
Yeah.
You know, next to kids who are great in
no,
grade
there's
7.
No reason that you should not be sharing a bathroom.
Yeah.
Someone who's in grade 7 should not be sharing a bathroom with someone who's like, you know, because he's about to get married, you know.
So like,
and you were just born.
Yeah. And so what was great was, so you go out of junior high where there's maybe a couple people you know that are kind of like-minded, like comics, like comedy, whatever. And then you go to this other school where now you have three other junior highs feeding into it. Well, then it's a way bigger pool of people and you're more likely to, you know, I made lots of friends there because there was a bigger pool of weirdos that, you know, you could draw people from of similar interests. But yeah, it was a real washout in junior high for me too.
I mean,
I had a couple of friends, but I had long periods of time where I was just kind of moping along because it's hard to make friends and hard to know people.
Good time to practice your drawing.
Because it's a cliquey world. And also I was still had one foot in Coquitlam where I'd grown up. So I would go on a lot of weekends. I would go sleep over at a friend's there and be with Coquitlam people. And so I never, you know, if you're not around for weekends, you're not really going to integrate yourself into other people.
It was weird. Yeah, no, I completely understand that. Yeah, but yeah, the one foot, though I think that's not the worst thing in the world. Because if you make high school your whole life, and then something goes wrong in high school, you got nothing. You're in trouble. It's nice to have okay, but I also got Coquitlam. That's good. Like to me, I was talking to this guy I know, and I didn't realize he dropped out of school at 16. He went on to become a stand-up. He's quite good.
Okay.
And I was saying to him, I kind of dropped out when I was around 16 as well, but not officially.
Mm.
Like I just wouldn't be around.
Yeah.
You know, but I still had the one foot in the school and I was doing enough to keep going.
Yeah, it's funny. I didn't realize. I didn't realize that.
No one did. Because like, you know, but that's the great thing about school is like, you don't act like it's a thing. No one fucking knows, you know, because you should be, maybe you should be here, but you're over there. Over there. And every day I would just like, basically once a day, I would just come into Vancouver and try to do, you know, work here or something for, you know, acting work or go to CBC or take an improv workshop or something along those lines. Mm. I knew what I wanted to do.
Yeah.
And then in the evenings, I would do community theater shows.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I just like had all these other worlds. I was like, but I couldn't like live with my folks and be dropped out because they would make me get a job.
yeah.
You know, so I had to like still be in high school.
I understand.
Yeah.
And then when I went to North Delta, I didn't realize, like at our junior high school, our lockers were assigned alphabetically. So I got to be beside this girl I had a major crush on for a long time until another girl came who got a locker in between us. So mad at her. But when I went to North Delta, everyone went ahead of time in the summer and booked and got their own lockers. Mm. So when I finally came there and, you know, moseyed on in, it's time for me to get a locker. There were no lockers at all, except way down in the shop end of the school.
Oh.
Which is where all the giant men boys were. These giant guys with beards, you know, and in those days, you know, they dressed a lot different in those days. Like, they would all be wearing, like, you know, engineer boots, like Dayton boots, yeah, and plaid jackets and stuff like that. And they'd have these huge full beards. And they were just massive. I remember one time these two hulking men got into this fight. I just felt like a mammal, an early mammal, you know, running, screaming around while dinosaurs were battling.
And you weren't like a small fella.
No, I was 6 feet tall. But
yeah, you're a 6 foot tall guy going, these guys are giants.
Yeah.
That's the thing you got to think. Like, Dave isn't like 4 foot something when he's saying this. He's that. I know. Now, here's my question about that. So, biologically wise, if you're a mountain of a man with a beard and this kind of thing, do you then decide I want to work with a soldering gun? Or does working with a soldering gun turn you into a giant man with a beard and the Mac jacket? Like, you know, and we had the back then I was quite skinny. Then we were the lean sissy boys, you know, with long coats, you know, and like we're going to draw our pictures and write our little skits.
With our
coat. Biology just like decide for us? You guys, you're the funny boys. Mm-hmm. You're the funny actory boys.
Yeah.
Delicate hands. You go over to here. You know, if we had decided, like, I want to work with mechanical stuff, do we do that, or how's that work?
Well, that's kind of funny because, you know, I was over that end of the school, but all my classes were on the art side of the school. So I was, like, as, you know, the geometrically opposite sides of the school as possible.
Yeah.
But I think in those days, it's not so much nowadays, but in those days, there was lots of holding back. So I think some of these boys were a little older than...
That's true.
Than grade...
They're like all the same age as the teachers.
They're almost the same age as the teacher. Yeah, I remember this little teacher. He looked like a little bit like a monkey. He was a little bald-headed guy that wore these little round glasses. He was smaller than me, and he would come out and break up these fights.
Yeah.
Be like, hey, you guys, get out. You know, he'd push them apart and stuff. Because, you know, adults had authority then, you know, to break up two humongous Tyrannosaurus Rexes fighting each other in their engineer boots, you know. But, yeah, it was so... It was so weird to like go from there into the arty side of the school, you know, and like you say, it was a cliquey school because you did have your jocks.
Yeah.
You had your stoner types. You had your, who were mostly down the shop end of the school.
Yeah.
You had your high achievers, you know, and then you had like, yeah, arty kind of people or, you know, who self-identified as waivers, you know, or whatever, like some sort of new wave thing. And then, you know, you had your uniform too that you'd wear that would be very similar to what everyone else in your clique would wear, you know, because there was... Yeah. Boys, sporty boys would wear the rugby pants in those days. Do you remember rugby pants with or rugby shirts with the big broad stripes on them? And you knew that person was in sports, you know, because he was dressed that way. If you dress that way, you're just confusing everybody. And then for some reason, it was very popular. It's the people I knew to wear your shirt. You'd wear a collared shirt, but you'd wear it backwards. So you had your collar. You'd button up.
What?
You'd have to button your shirt
what?
Up.
What?
Yeah.
Where was this?
Okay.
Delta, go ahead. All right.
So you'd continue. Button your shirt.
Backwards shirt.
At the top.
Yeah.
And then you'd spin it around and you put your arms in it. Then you'd have to try and button it up backwards.
Of course you would.
And then you'd put a sweater on, like a cardigan over that.
Right.
So that it would hide the back of your collar.
And right.
It would give this weird sort of high
collar. Did you ever
look.
Do that?
Oh, yeah, all the time.
Okay, when did you stop doing that?
Probably...
College?
Well, probably before I left North Delta, yeah.
Did you ever see anyone not in North Delta do that?
No.
That's the first time I've ever heard of that. Listen, let me just talk to our listeners for a second. Hi, listeners. How are you? Okay, this is just Ian talking to you right now. Have you ever heard of this where you put the shirt on backwards and then put, what do you put on top of it?
A cardigan sweater.
Put on a cardigan sweater.
Yeah.
Anyone heard of that? Or is this a
you
new
wear
thing?
A pea jacket or a trench coat with it.
Oh, my gosh. Okay, I wore a trench coat, but my Lord. Okay, all right. Fair. I'm backing away from. But let us know if you're familiar with this.
Never did that.
This is the first time I've ever heard of this.
It's weird because
it is.
There used
I
to
would
be.
Agree.
There used to be in Surrey
backwards clothes. You wouldn't put the pants on backwards ever.
No, that was just weird. Yeah. In a nearby municipality, or next door to us.
Yeah.
There was a youth. Did you ever go to Bumpers? Which was a youth nightclub.
Sounds about right.
And they sold just pop, and you know you could buy chips and things like
right.
that at it, and you danced, and they had a dance floor. And what was interesting when you went there was that you'd have different kind of, different people would come with their own kind of styles. And so I remember there was a group of people that dressed like, they always looked like secret agents to me. They all always wore white turtlenecks
right.
with pea jackets.
Okay.
The girls and the guys, they'd yeah. all be dressed very alike.
Right.
And then there was another group of people and they always wore overalls.
Yeah, I remember always. The overalls.
Okay,
yeah,
remember yeah. the overall people? Mm-hmm. And they'd always be there. And there'd be like maybe
usually
five
with
of
one
them.
Overall, not
that's right.
Done.
That's
done
right.
Up. Yeah.
It's kind of probably Dexy's Midnight Runner inspired. But, you know, they just, yeah, it was just interesting to see different. So there'd be our group there who all, right. all look like kind of priests because they'd all have the high collar
right.
with this cardigans. And then there'd be other groups dressed like spies or whatever. And then just everyone kind of chose
well, I know
their own.
We, by the way, I know.
But they're all from different schools.
I'm going to say this to our listeners again. Hi, listeners. How mm-hmm. are you? Mm-hmm. Now, I know most of you out there are younger than us. Like, I just had an experience where, you know, one of our listeners who, you know, we very much like, Nina Matsumoto, mm-hmm. She put a thing up on her Facebook page, which was like, how to, if you lived in Vancouver in the 80s, then the things you did.
Okay.
And the first three things that were listed were things that I worked at. Like it was okay. like, first thing, you dialed into Switchback in the morning. And I used to work on that show Switchback.
Okay.
It was like, you knew who Expo Ernie was. I was one of the Expo Ernies. It was like, it was the thing about 21 Jump Street. I was on the first season of 21 Jump Street on one episode. And so I'm writing her about this and she goes, I was two. At the time. I'm like, okay, understood. I'm a very old man. I completely yes. understand. Message received. Mm-hmm. Please continue your youthifying and talking about this stuff like it's some crazy alien thing. Just like, oh boy, the dinosaur
can't
days.
Believe what it was
I know. Saying. I just kept going like, you know, you knew Suki and Lee from Bob's Your Uncle. I was like, she made us a chicken dinner once. We actually knew Suki and Lee. Okay, forget it. You know, all these things just seem to be like made to mock me.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, yeah. but okay, youthful people.
Yeah.
Are you familiar with this kind of fashion thing? Has it ever come back? The backwards shirt. Like, I remember the backwards pants was like there was some sort of hip hop kids.
Yeah, that's right. There were crisscross.
Crisscross, yeah, and they would wear their pants backwards.
Yeah, two young boys.
Yeah, two young boys, pants backwards. When they had to pee, it was a nightmare. Really bad. They had catheter bags. It was good times mm-hmm. had by all. Okay, that's really interesting. No, I never went to Bumpers. I went to this all ages club here in Vancouver that was it was I guess gothy, kind of more
okay.
gothy.
Okay.
Because I used to always wear black and you had to backcomb the hair. And I would go there with my friend Alan and it used to be called Heaven. Mm. And then someone got stabbed. And so they changed the name to Paradise.
Ah.
And then someone got stabbed. And they closed it down because they couldn't think of more names. And later they opened it as a gay club called The Odyssey.
Oh, okay.
And now I think they've torn it down to make things. But yeah, all it was like you'd go and sort of mix and match, yeah, who you were dressed like.
Yeah.
And then you'd like dance for a while, then break off and go make out with someone for about 2 hours, exchange phone numbers, and then never call each other. Like it was just like, yeah, we got to, but we're not going to. So
yeah.
It was just a polite thing to do and good night. Yeah.
I didn't take part in that. But I did go to Bumpers.
Yeah, I think Bumpers frightened me. I think it was a little too rough and tumble for me. And I probably did not have one of the two proper outfits.
You did not have one of the... There are many outfits.
I was wearing the necktie, a trench coat, and a button-up shirt, and necktie forward-facing like a big nerd. Who's got his buttons in front? Loser. We can see your buttons. Spaz.
I never said that to you, to your face.
The first girl that ever asked me out, she and I just befriended her on Facebook because I felt bad about us having a bad first date, and I'm glad that we're now kind of Facebook friends. But here's what she said to me, like on the phone, which is like, you know, everyone else thinks your tie looks stupid, but I think it looks great. And I was like, I had no idea anyone thought this looked stupid.
Yeah.
I think I stopped wearing the tie shortly after that.
Yeah.
It was like, oh, okay. That was the first backhanded. But she was really being sweet about it. And she just was socially awkward. And bless her.
I don't know any of the grade 11 girls that I used to know when I went to school. It's strange. There's like two. I'm not even like friends with them on Facebook or anything. I don't know any of them.
Once you're friends with one, you'll be friends with them all.
Oh, is that right?
That's how that works.
Okay.
Then the popcorn starts popping.
And then it's not that I want to be, it's, you know.
Nope.
You know,
it sounds creepy when I'm saying the popcorn starts popping.
Yeah.
But that's what it is. It's just like, oh, you're friends with this. Then you're friends with this person.
Mm-hmm.
And then nothing's going to happen, Dave. You're totally safe because you're going to see all their kids.
The best moment of my life at high school, at senior high school.
This sounds good. By the way, Dave,
yep.
we're kind of looking for an ending pretty soon.
Oh, okay.
So I like the idea that we're going to end this with the best moment of when there's a junior or senior high school?
This is senior high school.
Now, for those of you from America, what are the grades for junior high school?
11 and 12.
11, 12 for senior high school. Yeah. So you're in senior high school.
So senior high school.
Okay.
And I realized that I could get out of school doing a graphics career prep and not have to do any science or math. So I immediately signed up for graphics career prep, which was supposed to be like a career preparation program for graphic arts.
Right.
And yeah, it was awesome. I didn't have to do any sciences, didn't have to do any mathematics.
And where would you go and what would you do?
Just go to the art department and work on art, learn how to. But I mean, this is like before computers. Our machine we used for doing lettering was the size of a fridge. It was just this ginormous
thing. By the way, right
thing.
Now, all of our young listeners are shaking their heads.
I know. It's unbelievable.
Yeah, so you went to the UNIVAC, which took up a whole wall. It got the room incredibly hot.
It did. And to type in it, you had this little tiny screen that you looked at, and you typed on this little keypad, and you would type it in. And if you made a mistake, it was agony. You had to start all over again. It created the letter as you typed.
Right.
And it was a lot of work.
Your professor was Werner von Braun.
Ugh, it was a bore. But we had a photo lab and everything. We could develop photos there. We had PMT. You know, we had a lot of stuff that nowadays is completely redundant because one computer can do everything that three rooms of art department did.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's true.
I learned it all. I remember one of the guys who I was in the class with, he went on to do computer animation at that time. And I just thought, what a waste of time. Not a weirdo. But he was right on the cusp of something that was new and interesting. By the time I just thought, because I'd seen some of it.
That fellow's name was John Lasseter.
That's right. John Lasseter.
You said.
What a jerk.
Look at that guy. And again, another guy wearing his shirt forward. Good luck, buddy. Good luck.
You forward shirt person.
I'm going to go take an hour trying to take this thing off. Little help?
It wasn't so, well, it was pretty hard, actually. Once you got your arms out, it wasn't so bad.
Same thing with a straight jacket.
It was odd.
Okay.
It's because girls did it. If girls did do it, you're doing it, man.
Wait, no, that's not how you go.
Oh, yeah, it is.
Okay, Dave, here's the thing. You're saying in school.
It doesn't work.
If you saw a girl doing something fashion-wise, your way of going about, like, you know what, I get this girl. I'm going to dress just like the girl. That way she's going to have to like me. I'm going to do my hair up in a bun, wear a nice dress. She's gonna notice good old David Andrew Dedricker. I'll be, what? Oh, not at all? That's not how it goes? Okay, don't worry about it. I'll figure this out by Valentine's Day 2014. I think that's what you do tomorrow is we figured it out. You dress, you see your wife when, and you just like stay in bed a little bit longer than her and like watch her get dressed.
Yeah.
You dress exactly like her. Cause that's what girls like. And you do that whole couples thing when you're at the very end of the relationship where you're both dressing exactly alike.
Yeah.
You're spicing things up by dressing the same.
I like it.
Okay, good. We've solved our problem.
She had to dress for hipster day at school today. She had to dress as a hipster.
Okay, so what do you do?
She wore kind of straight-legged pants.
Uh-huh.
She wore a t-shirt, which I thought was, she should have worn like a collared shirt, but she just wore a t-shirt. Oh, she had a collared shirt over, but open.
Right, she had a full beard.
She was wearing like one of those big kind of woolly hats with the flap, with the ear flaps.
Nice.
I thought that was a good touch.
Did you have one of those just around?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. We have several of those lying around.
I'm just going like, you had the outfit.
We have a cold life because, you know, in the wintertime, we have to go to the barn and do stuff. So those hats are good. But are working in a barn, like teaching riding out in a cold barn?
I'm not judging you.
I don't know. I felt like you were judging.
Okay. And she wore glasses?
Well, she wears glasses normally. So, yes.
Ah, okay. Yeah. But this time she was wearing them ironically.
She was wearing them ironically. That's right. She's looking at my cuckoo glasses.
Nice.
Yeah.
Oh, hipster day.
But one of the teachers at the school was saying to her, how do you explain what hipsters are to kids? Like, they don't even know what I'm talking about.
Okay. And if they do know, they know that it's so past calling them hipsters that it's ridiculous.
Is that right? There's no longer hipsters around?
Well, you don't anymore. You don't say it.
What are they, like, beatniks now?
You don't, just don't say it. It's just like, here's the thing. It's the kind of thing, like, there's always something that old people will say to young people to tell them a name. But, like, by the time they start calling them the name,
it's over.
Well, yeah, that's exactly right. The only other thing that you know will mean something is over is if it's in a McDonald's ad. There's a certain type of rapping.
Yeah.
The second it was in McDonald's,
it
was like, done. The Grandmaster Flash type rapping. Okay. And they start, Ronald. Well, I'm rapping Ronald and I'm here to, done. It's over. Like anything happens in a McDonald's ad, over, done. So the second you see Ronald with like hipster glasses, those kind of things, done.
Well, but still, a generation has to have an insulting name given to it by an older generation in order to be validated.
Yeah, you can have that if you want. I think they were self-identifying for a while, and then that just all fell apart. Mm. Now it's just like a little meh. There'll be something new. There'll be something new. You'll see.
All right. So you don't think that was the greatest thing to discover, that I could get out of school without... I still wanted to go to university.
Oh, let me... Okay. Well, I was going to say to you, it's not the greatest thing to me, because you'd be like, hey, Ian, you know what I did? Where are you, Ian? And then like, I'm in Vancouver watching a movie, right? So I figured my way out of the big house earlier than that.
Yeah.
So that's why I probably wasn't as impressed as someone who's still trapped in a calculus class would be. Going like, how'd Dedrick get out of this? I was like, and where's Boothby? Isn't he in this class?
Well, I didn't really get out of it because I still had to take Algebra 11. I went and took summer school, Algebra 11, so I could get into college.
Summer school, you poor bastard.
Yeah, it's a couple weeks.
So hot.
Yeah.
Summer school should just be on a beach.
Yeah. I had to take the bus.
You're wearing your bathing suit backwards because that's the way you do it.
I had to go to the one on Broadway, Vancouver Technical School or whatever.
Okay.
I'd take the bus all the way from, it was like an hour long bus ride.
Dude, every day I did it. Yeah. Every day. I know the bus ride. Yeah, 316, you're fine. Back then.
I had to do the exchange.
Did you take the 319?
I was 312.
Okay.
Then I got on the 319 at
319, yeah, Scottsdale. Of course you did. Hey, everybody out there. Do you like us talking about old bus routes? Like, that's the oldest thing in the world. Like, that's even beyond talking about weather.
But that's...
It's like two old guys. Here's how old it is. We're talking about bus routes from the 80s. Classic bus routes. Hey, Dave. That was one thing actually on the... Do you remember Vancouver and the... Mm-hmm. You remember paper transfers.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, those are awesome.
Yeah.
But... What I really missed was when buses had names rather than destinations on them.
Oh, okay.
So you took the Jorth.
More confusing. That's
so you got on
stuff.
The Jorth, or you got on the... I love that.
Oh, it's nothing better.
The Scott Road.
Fucking Scott Road couldn't bus. Be better. You know what you need when you need to get to 120th Street?
Yeah.
You need a bus that says Scottsdale. Well, what's that mean?
I don't know. That's the destination.
Uh-huh.
Well, if it's called the Scott Road, then you know it goes along Scott Road. I say it's better.
Okay. Well,
I'm right. You're wrong.
No.
And we had the greatest name of a bus of all time. The Kensington Sprott bus.
That is pretty good. All right. Now we're even going to get into road talk. But that bus that I'm talking about right now, the Scottsdale bus, you know, where you're going, I got to get to 120th. What's that? Scottsdale. What's that? That's a mall. Oh, what street's that on? That's on Scott Road. I need to get to 120th. Oh, it's also called Scott Road. Oh, does it say Scott Road? No. We just all know it is.
Yeah.
It's just listed as 120th. And we all just sort of know that the, you know, if you're friends with the street, you can call it Scott. But like its official birth name, on its birth certificate, it's 120th. But we all just know, you know.
You got it mixed up.
I went to school with 120th and we all were joking around. And he would always say, great Scott. We all started calling the street Scott. And then when he got a job as a street, we all went, hey, let's just keep calling Scott. And that's the thing. So if you're from out of town, then let's beat you up. And that's the way it went.
But the great thing about buses, which we lost when the SkyTrain came in, was you would meet friends on it without even knowing that they were going somewhere.
Right.
You know, you'd be going to Vancouver on a Saturday morning. You'd get on the bus at 10 o'clock, let's say, because it's too early to go at 9. Uh-huh. So you get on a 10 o'clock bus. And then there's a bunch of friends there that you didn't even know were going into town. And so
I will tell you one thing I liked about... Oh, my God. Now we're talking about buses. Okay. All right. We're going to wrap up real soon. The one thing I really did like about the Scott 319 or 316, both of them.
Well, the 319 was the one that went into Vancouver.
Right. You would, it was different than when you caught a downtown bus, like downtown. Because downtown bus was like the kind of bus that you could just hose down when someone was bleeding all over the place and no one would ever know. Sure. But like you were coming in from the suburbs.
Yes.
Well, here's a little plush bus for you. It had the nice plush seats and you could almost like fold down arms and then you could turn a light on.
Yeah, the light for reading.
Yeah. Awesome. A light for reading. We're going to assume you're going to read on the bus. Beautiful.
And I did. That's right. I did a lot of reading on that bus.
I did too. It was like the airplane thing where like sometimes at night I'd have like the light on. I feel like a dick because like everyone else is trying to get some sleep on the bus and I'm like reading and but now that no longer exists.
See, it's weird because I can still remember I was reading a book called Theater of the Absurd when I was going to Algebra 11 summer school classes.
Right.
I can still remember reading that book every day on the bus going to school. So it's just weird.
I just remember going through some tunnel. There's some tunnel under
Dees Island Tunnel. Goes under the Fraser River.
What I used to like was I'd be reading a comic book and you go under that one. It's all yellow lights in there and like all the color goes away out of the comic. I'm ooh, now I'm
looking. And it's like you're launching on Battlestar Galactica.
Yes, you would pretend to be Apollo as well.
Well, Starbuck, but yeah.
Apollo would also go through that.
But I was more of a Starbuck fan.
Okay, well, I'm just saying, David, I don't want to drop a name.
Yeah.
But I might have had dinner once with Richard Hatch.
Oh.
But you know what? I'm not going to talk about having dinner with Richard Hatch because we had to talk about old bus routes. So we don't have time.
But we wouldn't have got to Richard Hatch.
We don't have time to talk about that Richard Hatch lunch, big dinner, because we talk bus routes. So I guess we're done now. We're wrapping up out of time. Why don't you tell us your favorite bus routes from the past? Some bus stories. We're really sorry about this one, folks. We're really tired and we're scared to go home. We got to go buy some candy.
Do we have to? Yeah. We have to end the show now?
We're scared.
We're scared, everybody.
We love our wives very much.
Well, friends and neighbors, thank you for listening to Sneaky Dragon. And please come and visit us at our grave.
Or at sneakydragon.com.
Sneakydragon.com. After I give my wife the lamest gift of pre-badly packaged chocolate things when I know she's on a diet for Valentine's Day.
Well, let me tell you the best part.
Everybody.
Dave. I think the greatest gift of all is telling all our listeners, your wife's on a diet. It's what every woman wants to hear. She
I
wants
did not
to
say that.
Yes, you did. No, you just said your wife's on a diet.
I did not say it, did I?
Yes. Second ago. You said, I'm going to give it to her, but she's on a diet.
I don't think I said that.
Yes,
said,
you did.
Oh, I have to go back. Can someone please roll the tape back?
What do you think you said?
I said, I think give her some chocolate.
Badly, yeah. Badly put in the chocolate. That she won't like because she's on a diet.
Is that what I said?
Yes. Really?
I could have just been making a joke, though. It doesn't have to be reality.
Okay.
You made it reality.
Okay.
Thanks a lot.
I could have been making a joke
Thanks
myself right now.
Everybody, nice to know you. Ian will be joined by a new guest, a new host next week.
Oh, Valentine, oh, Valentine. All the children in France have wine. They have it all in slurpy cups. They force them all to drink it up. Oh, Valentine, oh, Valentine. Something, something, Dr. Seuss.